Hello and welcome back to another episode of the It's a Crime O'Clock Somewhere podcast. This is episode 99. I can't believe I'm just one episode away from my 100th episode, which will be next week. Today, though, I'll be talking about an Orange County double murder. My sources for today's episode are The Real Murders of Orange County, Season 1, Episode 5, titled A Deadly Double Life, Oxygen.com, Murderpedia.org, LATimes.com, MorningJournal.com, and APNews.com. As usual, all of my sources will be linked in today's show notes.
I was on my regular routine patrol route. I noticed a vehicle that was parked.
These people have been shot 10, 12 times.
An astonishing murder in Orange County.
Who would want to kill the doctor and the optometrist?
It's just unbelievable.
An enviable couple stolen from their loved ones.
Was it a random act?
Maybe it was some type of a carjacking gone bad.
It could have been a murder-suicide.
Basically, a whole team, a whole homicide unit was working this high-profile case.
A cracked OC facade would reveal illicit ties and deplorable motives.
Just because you're rich doesn't mean that you don't have skeletons in your closet.
Ken and Carolyn were known as a regular OC power couple living on the shores of Huntington Beach. Carolyn attended the Southern College of Optometry. She was originally from Michigan, previously had been in beauty pageants. Everyone around her wanted to be around her. She was smart and well-educated. Ken was an anesthesiologist. He also took care of himself and was fit, which is what drew Carolyn to him. Carolyn made it seem like everything was great at home and with her job. But on November 20th, 1999, their car was discovered around 10 p.m. near the 8-mile marker on Ortega Highway. The front passenger door was open, and it didn't sit right with the man, a security guard, who had discovered their car. When he took a closer look, he saw that the right window had been blown out. A man and a woman, later identified by their IDs as Carolyn and Ken, were slumped over in their car. The woman's head was positioned on the man's lap. Carolyn's shoe was on the ground outside the car, and there was a blood smear on the outside of the car. There didn't appear to be any signs of life coming from the victims. There was also blood spatter on the inside of the passenger door. Both of the victims had been shot and were clearly dead. They were identified as Kenneth and Carolyn Stahl, which I had said. Kenneth had been found on the driver's seat and still had his seatbelt on. Carolyn, however, looked as if she had been trying to get out of the car and maybe trying to get away. Carolyn's purse had still been in the car, and Ken still had his wallet and watch. The police first believed that it could have been a murder-suicide, but it was ruled out as no murder weapon was found in the car. Another theory was that it had been a carjacking gone wrong, but no shell casings were found either. Loved ones of Ken and Carolyn were shocked and really didn't know why they were targeted. The police looked into Ken's background and work life, and they discovered that he was possibly having an affair. However, it wasn't the first time he had cheated or had a girlfriend. After they had been married for about 10 to 11 years, the marriage seemed to have started going downhill. It seemed like they weren't having sex anymore and weren't in love. About a year before the murders, Carolyn had reportedly went to Ken's office, looked through some files, and started a fight with him in the office. Ken had told a friend that she thought he was cheating, but he denied it. Carolyn had already been through a rough previous marriage. It's believed that her first husband had also cheated. He had sent her divorce papers to sign, and it seemed like maybe she didn't want another failed marriage and was determined to make the marriage work. A search warrant was obtained for Ken and Carolyn's house. The police found several very expensive items. They had a lot of clothing, but it was still kept in the plastic and hung up. Carolyn would buy herself expensive gifts to keep up appearances and say they were from Ken. The police looked into whether or not Ken had a current girlfriend, which maybe would explain why the car was found on the highway. On February 16, 2000, Ken's friend, Richard Anaya, called the police. Richard did handiwork for Ken. Ken had asked Richard about some gang tattoos he had and asked if he had been involved in any drive-by shootings. Richard had once been in a gang but told Ken he wasn't involved with it anymore. Ken said he was just making conversation. But Richard said Ken just came out and asked him if he knew of anyone that would kill his wife. Ken said he would pay him $75,000. Richard said he didn't know if Ken was serious until he read in the paper that Ken and Carolyn were killed. Richard said Ken had tried to laugh it off and said he was just joking. It was odd that if Ken had hired someone to kill Carolyn, and then got himself killed. One of the things that had been collected at the crime scene was Ken's cell phone. A number of calls had been to and from a woman named Adriana Vasco. Some of the calls had even been on the day of the murder. Adriana seemed to be upset when she found out about the murders. She said she had worked for Ken and was his receptionist, but she said she and Ken were platonic friends. Adriana was from the working class side of Orange County. She said Ken was helping her with some money to compare a computer. Adriana said Ken told her he was taking Carolyn out for her 44th birthday, but had no idea where they were going. The police believed she was lying to them. On October 11th, 2000, the police showed up at Adriana's work and wanted to talk to her again. She again said that she and Ken only spoke about the computer, but the police pushed her a bit more and she revealed that she and Ken had maybe gone out on a date. She then revealed that they were having an affair. Adriana was also dating another man and hanging out with seedy characters. The other man that she was dating said he believed Adriana was seeking out wealthy men. She used people and was a master manipulator. It's believed that Adriana had believed that Ken was going to divorce Carolyn and marry her. Adriana then moved on to a man named Greg Stewart when Ken went and divorced Carolyn. But Ken continued to be Adriana's sugar daddy over a 5-year period. Adriana told the police that Greg would get upset because Ken came over at night. After the interview on October 11th, the police took Adriana to a house in Westminster. It was Greg's house. The police decided to ask Greg who he would look at for the murders, and he said Tony. The police had never heard the name Tony. Tony was a maintenance worker who was also Adriana's boyfriend and worked at the apartment where Adriana lived in Anaheim. The police ran a background check on Adriana. She had a previous charge for a DUI, and the passenger had been her boyfriend, Tony. The police sent a team to the apartment to see if they could locate him. The police talked to the apartment manager. Apparently, Tony came from North Carolina and had told people that he had killed before. The police ran Adriana's phone records. On the first day the police interviewed her, she had made calls to Greenville, North Carolina, which they believed had been calls to Tony. Tony wasn't his real name, though. His real name was Dennis Earl Godley, who was a career criminal. The police needed to talk to Adriana again, and she agreed to a computer voice stress test. She failed one question about whether or not she knew who killed Ken and Carolyn. When the police asked Adriana about Tony, her face went completely white, and she started to cry. The police decided to arrest her for a traffic violation that she had had. The police knew that Dennis was in Virginia in custody, so they flew to speak to him. He had dead eyes, but he did admit to being in California at the time of the murders and to his relationship with Adriana. He also admitted to knowing Ken. The police found one of his questions odd. Dennis had asked if he had done it, would they not put him to death? The police didn't have much of a case and knew Adriana would be released from jail. The police came up with a ruse and told Greg that they had found Tony. From jail, Adriana called the police wanting to talk. Adriana said Ken wanted Carolyn killed. Adriana said Ken had asked her over and over for years. Adriana refused to do it, so she introduced Ken to Dennis. They met at a parking lot in Huntington Beach, and Ken gave Adriana an envelope of cash about $30,000, and Adriana handed it to Dennis. On November 20th, 1999, Dennis went to Adriana's apartment. Ken took Carolyn out to celebrate her birthday. Dennis and Adriana had parked at a gas station off Ortega Highway. They planned to follow Ken's car once he passed them. Dennis and Adriana parked on the opposite side of the stall's car. Adriana said she heard gunshots and was inside the car. Adriana revealed that Carolyn was still alive after Dennis had unloaded his weapon. Carolyn had been able to get out of the car, but it's believed that he shoved her back into the car and shot her again in the back of the head. Adriana said Dennis got back into the car and said he shot them. He had killed both of them because he said Ken didn't follow directions. The police believed he did it so that he wouldn't leave a witness behind. Adriana later said Dennis had dropped the gun in the ocean. Dennis Earl Godley was arrested, and so was Adriana. The defense argued to suppress the police's interview with Adriana. They said it was coerced and that her Miranda rights were violated. So the judge threw out the confession. Without more evidence, Adriana was set to be released from jail for her traffic violations. In January 2001, Adriana spoke to a reporter from the OC Register from jail. She provided a lot of details about the murders. She said she tried to stop the murders but covered her eyes and tried to stop Dennis. Adriana's ex-boyfriend Scott said that she told him she was involved. He said Adriana told him she wanted to be present to make sure it happened. He told the police and then was asked to testify in court. Adriana went on trial and took the stand. The defense tried to make Adriana seem sympathetic. Adriana was a mother and seemed convincing as she cried on the stand for several hours. But the jury didn't sympathize with her and she was found guilty of two murders. She is spending the rest of her life in prison. Dennis agreed to a plea deal to plead guilty for a life sentence, but he died in prison from cancer. It's clear that Adriana and Kenneth were the masterminds, and karma's a bitch, and it blew up in Kenneth's face. He didn't deserve to be murdered, but Carolyn is the true victim in all of this. Carolyn had suspicions that Kenneth was cheating and didn't want to end up in another failed marriage. Support for the It's a Crime O'Clock Somewhere podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's performance package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off plus free worldwide shipping with the code CRIMEOCLOCK at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, that's about 14 million balls. The Performance Package 4.0 has arrived, and oh man, it is a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawn Mower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. First off, the Lawn Mower 4.0. This trimmer is the future of grooming and, dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawn Mower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 4000K LED spotlight you need a more precise shave. Because this trimmer is waterproof, you can say goodbye to the mess on the bathroom floor. You thought that was good, but want to take your grooming game even further to the next level? The Performance Package 4.0 also includes this Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose holes. Their Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner will change the way you approach your hygiene routine. Trust me when I say this, fellas, your balls will thank you. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. My husband loves the boxers, and I have ended up stealing the travel bag to use for extra storage. It's time to take care of yourself, so go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CRIMEOCLOCK. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CRIMEOCLOCK at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code CRIMEOCLOCK. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. I'd love to know what you think about today's crime and about what case I should cover for my 100th episode. My book recommendation for this week is Deadly Mistress by Michael Fleeman. This book is about today's case. I enjoyed the book, but true crime books can be interesting in some areas and slow in others. This book is a truly crazy case, and I'm glad the right people at least served some jail time or are in jail now. And I give this book an 8 out of 10. Thank you again to Manscaped for sponsoring today's episode. Again, use the code CRIMEOCLOCK for 20% off plus free shipping. And please subscribe to my blog, follow me on Instagram and Twitter, email me at itscrimeoclocksomewhere@gmail.com, buy me a coffee, and leave me a 5-star rating and review. I'll be back next week with an all-new case and book recommendation, and remember, it's Crime O'Clock Somewhere.